Yeah, no, you're trying to select me. You gotta come get the box, man. Next to a sharp stick in the eye, this is about as much fun as you've had in a long time. See? Grab the box. All right, hold on. Yeah, get right here. Let's see, we got anybody else hiding out there? You guys want to come up? You come up. Come on. Atta girl. Hi, nice to see you. You can just sit down right here. All right. Well, I'm grateful that you decided to do this. Your mom put your foot to the fire, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to anyone who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, offer the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go 2. Give to the ones who ask of you. Do not turn your back on ones who want to borrow. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes the sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and sisters, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. All right. And here we have the box. What you got in the box?
Eyes for clothes.
Okay. And the clothes would be?
So, like, if somebody asks you to give your, like if somebody asks you for your clothes, like, give it to them?
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Good job. So let's see what kind of clothes we got here. Okay. Ah. Very nice. Thank you. I like that. No, just messing with me. Oh, I see there's more clothes. All right. There's a shirt.
Yep.
Good. Excellent. Thank you. Good job. Let's give them all a hand. Alex, you know how to play Monopoly?
Sort of.
Kind of? Eva?
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette, you know how to play Monopoly?
The Littlest Pet Shop version.
The Littlest Pet Shop version. Well, that leaves me out. Kelsey, Morgan, you guys? Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
Most folks out here? Yeah, tragic news this week. Monopoly has decided to eliminate the thimble as a game piece, and they're moving on to allow us as the general public the opportunity to pick the new game piece. My favorite, I went back and forth between the top hat and the race car. Do you have a favorite?
Top hat,
yeah. Battleship, little Scotty dog. You guys coming up? Anyway. How many of you, when you play Monopoly, did the thing where if you had a fine, you put the money in the middle and you land on free parking and you get all the cash that's in the middle of the game? Ha! Any Monopoly purists out there? If you are, you know that's against the rules. It is not in the rules. You cannot do that. All these years you have done it wrong. You're wrong. Feel much better now. That had been bothering me for quite a while. I just wanted to say that publicly in church. Why do you play the game anyway? You probably heard it said, win or lose, it's not as important. It's just how you play the game. We all know that's not true. We would prefer to win. At least, I'm projecting now. I want to win. That's why I play the game. I want to win. Now, sometimes I lose, and I've learned over time to be a good loser. But you know, what if your mom said to you, go out and mow the lawn. Do you mow the lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She said, go out and mow the lawn. And you didn't really want to mow the lawn. You wanted to go fishing, do something else. But she told you to do it, so you went out and you were doing it. And your mom had run a garden hose from the house to the garden. Now, she didn't tell you to pick up the garden hose, right? Mm-hmm. So you just ran the garden hose over with a lawnmower. You've done that. How well did that go for you?
I didn't really put that big a hole in it.
For most of us, we would probably say, well, you know, you didn't tell me to pick up the hose, you just told me to mow the lawn. For most of us, that would not go well. I mean, come on. You got to mow the lawn, you know, you got to pick the stuff off. Don't run over the garden hose. Let's imagine that Kelsey and Morgan, instead of being sisters, are next door neighbors, and Kelsey says to her mom, I'm going to go with Morgan to the store. And her mom says, no, you're not. You can't go with Morgan to the store. So Kelsey goes with Jane to the store, but Morgan was going with Jane, but it's not really going with Morgan. Would you be following what the deal was, what she wanted you to do? Probably not. And we can go on and on with the different nuances of the law, and those of you that are parents usually have heard, that's not fair. Here are the rules. Usually, a lot of these guys up here have a very fine-tuned sense of the rules. And splitting the rules, splitting hairs, interpreting the rules down to the minutiae, and then finding ways to get around them if they don't suit them. In some ways, whether we're talking about Monopoly and the rules of Monopoly, or picking the mowing the lawn with a hose, or whatever analogy, that's what we're looking at today with Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the professional religious of the day. The Pharisees were the church ladies of the day. They were lay people, but they were trained specifically to help people understand how they needed to do what they needed to do. And the law was usually the law of Moses, or the first five books of the Old Testament. That was the law. And then you had the Midrash, which was the interpretation of the law. And then you had the Talmud, which was an interpretation of the interpretation of the law. And each time they did that, it got larger to where there might be 12 thick volumes. I mean, the Midrash, the interpretation of the law, was like 800 pages. And then the next jump up was 6 volumes to interpret those 800 pages. So it just got a bit crazy. Now, those of us who are Catholic, we understand that. We have been, in our tradition, guilty of the same thing. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Who cares? Sister did. And when many of us were in CCD or Catholic school back in the 50s or 60s, we did too. And, you know, for some of us, it really jammed us up. Because what it came down to for us, and we became very childlike in our faith, was if we just follow the rules, we'll be okay. And we go nuts if we don't have a real clear sense of the rules. Notice what's happening in the hierarchy today? Who's taking the heat? The Pope. He's supposed to be the number one rule guy, right? But what's he saying? He's talking about mercy. How do you measure mercy? How do you write that down? How do I know when I'm being merciful? Give me a list of stuff to follow, and I'll follow it, and I'll know that I'm okay. We have been, the last 4 weeks probably, studying the fifth chapter of Matthew, which is all about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed, 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 all the way down. Then the last 2 weeks, we've had this whole thing about, you have heard it said, you know, don't commit murder. I tell you, not even to get angry. You have heard it said, don't commit adultery. I tell you, not even to lust. Many of you remember Jimmy Carter, when he had that interview and said that he lusted and everybody went crazy? My, how times have changed, right? I mean, that was horrible for Jimmy Carter to say that publicly. That a president would say that he had some impure thought in his person. My, how things have changed. But you see, what they're talking about here is not just following the rules. But what is the divine intention? You see, if your mom told you to mow the lawn, she would probably have an intention that you would pick up the garden hose rather than run it over. And we would know that. If we were really interested in following her intention. A parental intention. If the parent says, no, you can't go to the store with Kelsey, and Morgan goes with Jane, but Kelsey's not going with Morgan, Kelsey's going with Jane, she's not being faithful to the intention. What Jesus did was he held all of these people, and you see the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the good guys of the day. They were the people that they did the religious stuff. Everybody liked them. Everybody wanted to be them. They were the Beyonce kind of folks of the day. You know, I mean, they were really cool. And Jesus said, hey, if your holiness does not exceed that of the scribes or the Pharisees, you will not come into the kingdom. And when regular folks heard that, they flipped out. Because they thought being holy meant following all the rules. And there were so many rules that the more rules, and remember St. Paul? St. Paul said, I was a Pharisee's Pharisee. Man, I followed the rules. And then the big insight for St. Paul was, it's not about following the rules. Jesus says it's important. Yeah, you got to do that. But that's not the main thing. What is the divine intention? What is God's intention? That's where we have to really pray and think and understand. That's where, you know, I can say, well, I didn't murder Steve, but I really hate him. Am I being true to the divine intention? No. I need to really look at my life. Why the anger? Why the resentment? You know, I may look at someone and desire them and just run that fantasy through my head. And then I try to say, well, I never went out with that person. What about the divine intention? What does that have to do? I mean, that's the level of examination. That's where, you know, Jesus is saying your holiness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, that you have to go from doing, just following the rules, to the divine intention. Now, Noah brought a box, and he's got some clothes in it, and the he would meet the law, the requirement of giving clothes to the naked. That would be a good thing to do, absolutely. But the challenge for Noah, or for any of us, is what's the divine intention? The divine intention is love your neighbor as yourself. That we would want to clothe ourselves. If I want to clothe myself, I'm challenged then to clothe others as well. Following the rules, it's a good thing. But what's the divine intention? All of you know that to be true because you're sitting here in St. James Parish. What were the rules? Didn't follow the rules, did you? Shame on you. But what was the divine intention? Therein lies the question. That's how you evaluate it. That's how you evaluate your whole life. What is God calling you to? In this activity, in this choice that I am making, and we saw in the introduction that we have free will. We can choose. We can choose A over B. Sometimes those choices aren't clear. The reason for making that choice is not just to follow a rule. The reason for making the choice between A and B is to be faithful as men and women committed to Christ, to be faithful to the gospel. What's the intention of the gospel? What's the intention of Jesus? What did Jesus call me to? How is Jesus calling me in this choice? We have to do that. And, as teachers, to these guys, we have to teach them that too. We try to teach them as parents to be compliant to a parental intention. And we would hope that they would make good choices. I mean, that you guys know that. You do that as parents. It's the same principle that we apply to our faith. I'm really proud of you. You did a good job. Even though your mom probably broke your toes making you do this. Thank you all. Have a good one.